so we're holding on Daf Kuf Mem Amud Aleph, third line. We learned in the Mishnah that there's a difference between whether there's nechasim merubin or nechasim mu'atin, whether there's a large amount of the, whether the estate is large or small. In terms of, we know the son, we know that if there are sons and daughters, only the sons are going to Yarshin, according to the Din of the Torah, daughters don't Yarshin. In later times, by the way, we've touched on before, there's a takana, or a minag that developed to write out a document that entitles girls to a certain part of the Yerusha by a workaround, basically, that you write out a shtar that says that they're owed a certain amount of money by the estate. They call it shtar chatzi zachar. In any case, though, here the Mishnah is not dealing with that. Here we're dealing with the plain din d'oraisa and d'rabbanan. So the boys yarshin, but mid-d'rabbanan, there's a takana that they have to support their sisters until they're old enough to get married or to be boigros, and then they can go support themselves. So we said in the Mishnah there's a difference in that regard between nechasim merubin and nechasim mu'atim, whether if the estate is large, meaning there's enough money in it for the girls to have their part earmarked for them, and the boys to still have a yerusha, then good, that's what we do. Otherwise, what we do is the girls get first dibs on it because they, in effect, like they have a shibud on the property. And the boys, if there's nothing left available for them, they're going to have to go work for a living or beg or whatever. So we define that nechasim merubin versus muatin means, in the end, we said it meant where there's enough for the girls to be able to live off of until they become boigris, and there's enough for the boys, then that's called nechasim merubin. Any less than that is called nechasim muatin. So the Gemara says pshita. Now it's obvious the following fact, and we're going to use that, of course, as an introduction to a question. Merubin v'nismatu. What happens if, to begin with, when they started out, when they first inherited the estate was large, and now afterwards the price of food has gone up, or the nechasim have deteriorated, and now they're worth less, and now you don't have enough to take care of the girls to take care of both the boys and the girls until they're boigrim and boigris, what happens? So kvar zochel behen yoshin, there's no question the yoshim already were zoicha in them when their father died, meaning, in other words, at that point they were nechasim merubin. So what we'll do is the girls will still get their part, whatever was earmarked for them according to how much it was worth and how much prices were when the father died. The sons will yarshin their portion. The point being, in other words, that the Rashbam says, now the fact is the nechasim are not going to go as far because they've deteriorated or because prices have gone up. The loss is going to have to be borne equally by the boys and the girls. So in other words, we're going to have to deduct. So there's a prisha on Shulchan Aruch explains to give an actual example. Let's say, for example, the estate was 100 and they figured out that the amount the girls are going to need from now until they become burgers is going to be 10 gold coins. Now, so originally it was 100 and they're getting 10% of it, which is 10, now it went down, and now the estate is worth only 90, so it means that they were going to be getting only 9. So it means that the girls now are going to get 9 instead of their original 10, and the boys are going to get only, 81 instead of 90.
Okay.
Yeah. On the other hand, Hagois Oshri, the notes on the Rosh, brings from the Rivam, the Baal HaTosfos, and say that no, what it just means is it doesn't mean specifically that we deduct certain percentages, it just means that they both share in it equally until the money runs out. Anyway, the question is...
Do we use Bulgari?
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Call it whatever you want. Yeah. The question, though, is mu'otin v'nisrabu mai. What would happen the other way around if, at the time when the father died, the nechasim were worth only a small amount, and then it became more? So that could be, again, where, for example, prices went down. It could also mean where the nechasim themselves improved in value. The Rashbam mentions the first, mentions only the first possibility, maybe implying that according to him, there wouldn't be a question if the value of the nechosim themselves went up, because then for sure the yoshim get benefit from that. So the question would really be more if prices have gone down and now the same amount of money will go further. The Meiri mentions both possibilities. Anyway, the question is, Birshus Yoshim Kaimi, do we say the Nechosim, after all, we're in the property, we're in the possession of the Yoshim already, so they have, there's a Shibud where they have to give to their sisters, but basically it's theirs. Hilkach Birshus Yoshim Shvuach, therefore the Nechosim have improved in value, or prices have gone down, or whatever it is that whatever the benefit is, goes specifically to them, so they get that extra amount. So to use our example, from before, if let's say, for example, the nechosim at the time when the father died were only 100, and now, to use the Rashbam's example, let's say for example, before a loaf of bread was cost $5, and now it costs $4, so therefore we're able to get more bread for the girls. Are we going to say now, therefore, that the brothers just get that extra amount and they get to keep it? Or maybe we should say that since to begin with, when the father died, it was Nechosim Mu'atin, and we said the girls get their portion first, and the boys get pushed aside in favor of the girls, maybe it remains that way, or maybe it remains that way now also, and therefore, who's going to benefit from the extra amount that's available is going to be the girls.
It's yesterday we said the girls do not get
Nechosim. We said that the girls get their amount that's earmarked for them as to support them until they get married, now that there's in effect more money available, do they get that extra amount, or do we say that no, that extra amount goes to the boys? So that's the question. The Ramban actually wonders. The Ramban actually wonders about it a little bit. What's the question really? I mean, the whole point is that they're just supposed to have a certain shibud on it the Tosfos HaRosh rather asks on it that look, I mean the nechosim don't belong to the daughters, it's just meshubad to them. Why would we think they get the extra amount? So rather the question is basically the Tosfos HaRosh explains essentially that do we say that the girls are now that Beis Din is now going to take that extra amount and set aside for their nechosim, or are we going to say that no, since it's nechosim muatin, then just everybody's going to share it equally, and there's no specific amount earmarked for the girls? Anyway, so the Gemara answers. Toshma, let's prove the Amar Rab Asi, Amar Rab Yechanan, Yisomim Shekodmo Machrom Nechosim Mu'atin. When you have Nechosim Mu'atin, the amount where we're saying that in principle the boys are not going to end up yashining because it's all going to go to their sisters. Nevertheless, if they went ahead and sold some of the Nechosim, Masha Machru, what they sold is sold. Meaning, in other words, the Rashbam explains we're talking about before they ever went to get the estate settled. If they went and sold, now they're not supposed to, because we're saying that since it's nechosim watim, it's really all supposed to end up going to their sisters. Nevertheless, though, b'diyevet, if they went and sold something, and the fact is that girls cannot collect from their mezonos from nechosim b'shavodim, they can only collect from nechosim b'nei chorin. So if the boys do go and sell those nechosim ahead of time, then b'dieved, it's a done deal, and therefore that means their sisters are not going to be able to collect from that. So that goes to show. So since they're able to sell it, that shows they have a certain degree of ownership of it. Therefore, if now the prices go down and the same money will stretch further or whatever, it means the boys still retain that ownership of it. We don't say the second possibility that the Gemara had said Saluki Masalki Yoshim Rahacha, that the Yoshim are completely out of the picture. Rather, we say even in Nechosim Watim, they do have a certain ownership of it. Just in practice, with Nechosim Watim, they may not get to exercise it because their system Sisters get first dibs, but we're saying the fact is there's a fact that if they sold it, they're able to prevent, they're able to, they sold it and it's a done deal. It's now Metalklin and their sisters are not able to exercise their shibud over it. So therefore, so by the same token, if now the Nechosim have gone up in value because prices have gone down or whatever, then it means yes, the Yoshim, the boys, are entitled to their portion of that, and we don't say that it all goes to the girls. One second. That's all the points of the Rashbam. Tosfos discusses at some length over here and says it may not even be like the Rashbam says, where they sold it before they went to Beis Din. It may even be after they went to Beis Din, after Beis Din had decided that the girls are entitled to X amount. If now the boys go and sell some of the estate, still Tosfos understands that it still would be valid. Now, why that is, different Achronim discussed why that should be. The Shittim Ukubetzis brings an explanation because the daughters basically are getting specifically from Karka. Their shibud, as usual with a Baal Choyv, is only on land, not on Metaltalin. But basically the sons own the land. The daughters have the right to sell that land and get money for their needs. But the fact is, until they do that, then it's still in the son's possession, and therefore b'dieved, if they sell it, then it's sold. Then Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in Kovetz Shurim gives a different explanation. He says basically the chiyuv that the boys have to support the girls, it's a day by day thing. It's not like the girls are given a lump sum and we tell them that. I mean, basically may decide for them a lump sum because they calculate how much is necessary for the girls over the years. But in reality, even though Basin gives it to them as one lump sum, it's still, in effect, it's really a new thing every day. So it's not like a regular Baal Choyv. In other words, based in earmarks, a certain amount, look, that has to be paid, and it's paid as one time thing, and that's that. As opposed to, when it comes to the girls, the fact is, Tosfos would say, even after based in as Paskin, the fact is every day there is a new chiyuv. There is a new chiyuv, and therefore, if the boys go and sell even after that, then b'dieved, it's valid. Yeah.
Okay.
Fine.
We did a lot of cases here.
Yeah.
We have to be masking what.
Okay, so the short, in short, what we're saying, so. Okay. So in short. Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. So, in short, what we're saying so far is, again, Nechosim Meruvin, the boys inherit. Nechosim Muatim, we're saying in principle they should inherit, but in practice it gets earmarked for their sisters. Yeah. Now, what we're saying is, if it was Meruvin, and now it became less, we're saying, well, the boys already was Zoche in it, and now what happens is, proportionately, the boys and girls lose proportionate amounts from it according to the Rashbam or according to the Rivam, rather they just start sharing in it equally. If it's the other way, Mu'otin v'nisrabu, then we're saying the answer is that the boys do have the right to their Yerusha. Because we said, even when it was Mu'otin, b'dieved, if they sold, it would be valid before they went to Beis Din, according to the Rashbam, even after it, according to Tosfos. And therefore, that means the boys have enough of an ownership of it that now, when it goes up in value, when now the same money will stretch further, that we can say that extra amount can go to the boys.
That's how it is.
Okay.
Because you're going to be forget.
So that's what I just said. Okay. You also have your Gemara in front of you. You can look in it. This is all in notes. You may find it in the notes.
Okay.
The Gemara says, Yosef Rabbi Yirmiyah kamed Rababo. So now, Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rabbi Bo, the Kaboy Mineh, and he was asking the following series of questions. Now, the point of the following questions is going to be that there can be various kinds of claims on the estate. Besides for that the girls need their mezonos. There can also be, for example, the almana, the widow also needs mezonos. There can be a Baal Choyv. There can be different kinds of things like that. The question is going to be, when we calculate whether the estate is nechosim merubin or nechosim muatim, which of those points do we factor in? Do we say, because we have this outstanding debt, therefore that reduces the amount that's available to split among the boys and the girls, and that may tip over the scale from the Chosim Merubin to the Chosim Muatim, and which ones do we not?
What
it means that we'll see...
God. Okay.
Listen, and you'll hopefully you'll understand. Okay. Okay. Good.
Fine. No problem. Thank you.
So the first question is Al Manose Mahu Shetamayit V'Nechosim. So the first question is, when the guy passed away, he left a widow, and she's entitled to Mizonis. So she needs Mizonis as long as she's going to be an Almana until she collects her Ksuba or remarries or whatever. So now, what happens if we have just enough to support the boys and the girls? Mahu Shetamayit V'Nechosim. Do we say that the Mizonis that would have to be earmarked for her reduce the amount of nechosim, and therefore, in other words, so now it's not merubin anymore. So, in other words, what we're going to have to do is we're gonna have to figure like this. We're saying right now there's nechosim merubin, so it's just enough to support the boys and the girls until they all come of age. But now we have to consider there's the almana as well. So on the one hand, we could say that look, the almana is entitled to her mazonis. Therefore, that we're gonna have to do that. We have right now. We started with an estate of 100. Let's say we know we're gonna have to take out from mazon almana. We don't know how long that's going to be because we don't know how long she's going to remain in almana. So let's say we say that, so we're going to say, for example, that we don't know. It might be, for example, one gold coin. So in that case, we only have 99 left. 99 is not enough for Nechosim Merubin. Now at this point, it becomes Nechosim Muatim. So we're going to have the rules of Nechosim Muatim from our Mishnah. Or do we say that, so again, the girls are going to get their portion earmarked for them. And if that uses up all the 99, then that's it. The boys are going to go beg for tzedakah. Or maybe we say that, look, the almana at any time could.
Oh,
or do we say that, the almana could get married at any time? Therefore, maybe the amount that potentially might go to her, maybe we don't consider it to be to reduce the amount of estate. We still say the boys get their Yerusha, the girls get their Mizonis, as far as the point is, in other words, the Almana's portion is going to come exclusively out of the boys. So in other words, if we say that Ashram explains, if we say that the Almana is asking Maushe to Maik v'nechosin, let's learn the words of the Gemara first, actually. Miyam Minan, do we say, Kivin de Isla Mizoni, since she has Mizonis by one of the Tanoi Ksuba, is that she's to be supported until she remarries or demands her Ksuba, Mimata, therefore that reduces the size of the estate. The result would be, in other words, that we would say, now, if the almana gets her portion, the girls get their portion, and the sons may have to go and then beg for tzedakah. Mm-hmm. Or do we say, given the ilu mincevah lesla, given that if the almana gets married, she's not going to get mizonis anymore once she gets married, once she demands her ksuba, whatever, there are various cases that it talks about mesechta ksubas, okay, where at that point she's not entitled to mizonis anymore. So if she were to do that, hashtanami lesla, maybe now we should say that's not considered to reduce the amount of nechosin. Meaning, in other words, that we should consider we should consider, in other words, that the almana will share together with the boys. The boys will get their Yerusha. The almana will join in with them as much as possible. And when the money runs out, then that's it. She's not going to be able to get Mizonis anymore. The Rashbam explains, look, the girls are not going to lose out either way. Either way, there's a certain amount earmarked for the girls. But the question is basically about the almana. So the Rashbam is actually bringing two explanations over here. First, the Rashbam brings a possibility that it means that if we say we don't, that the estate is still considered nechosim merubim, even though there's her claim, then fine. What we do is we still set aside the amount for the daughters and the boys and the almana together use up whatever's left, and once it runs out, then it runs out for all of them. Or maybe what we mean, or or what it can mean is when we say that if she were to get married, then she wouldn't have nechosim anymore. Then maybe now also Beis Din is not going to earmark a certain amount for her. So all it is in other words, if nechosim merubim, so the sons and so therefore all of them, boys, girls, and almana, are all going to share in it equally. The Rashbam brings both. The Rashbam brings these two explanations. Okay, the question basically is the almana's portion considered, are we saying that you have the boy's claim, the girl's claim, and the almana's claim? Which part does the almana's claim belong to? Does it come from the boy?
We said that the almana is
entitled to mezonos. The question is now, if taking out the almanas is going to change it from nechasim merubim to nechasim muatim, then what happens in terms of the boys versus the girls? So that's the question is, again, the difference is, with the girls, we can figure out, we know how old they are now, we know how long it's going to be until they become burgers, and therefore we're based in, can earmark an appropriate amount. But when it comes to the almana, we don't know that. Anytime, she could get married, and therefore maybe...
When
she gets married, or collects oksuba, then she's not entitled to anything new anymore. Tosfos actually discusses that point further in some detail over here, and discusses the point exactly what is the nature of the claim of the almana anyway, and how this affects things. Okay, anyway. So that was Rav Yumi's first question. Then he continues, Im tim saloima kiven de ilu minsava lesla, if you're gonna answer that given that if she gets married then she's not getting mezonos anymore, hashtanami lesla, then you're gonna say that now also we don't say that she has, meaning in other words, in the sense that we say that her claim for mezonos is not considered to reduce the size of the estate. We still call it nechosim merubin, and it's just out of those nechosim merubim that we're gonna have to take out a part for her, but that doesn't prevent the girls from having their specific portion earmarked for them, and it doesn't prevent the boys from yashining their portion, and then with all that comes of that. So if we say that, then we can ask bas ishtei ma'ushetamayet benechosim. Now here's another question: suppose that the father had previously been married to another. Suppose that the husband married a woman who had previously been married, and he took on him. Himself as part of the, when he got married to this woman, that he's going to support her daughter from a previous marriage for X amount of time, let's say 5 years. So now you have a case like that, exactly. So the father, for example, married Rochel, who had a daughter from a previous marriage, and he accepted on himself that he's going to support that daughter for the next 5 years. Now Rochel died, or he divorced her, or whatever. He marries another woman, Leah, or for that matter, maybe he's married to both Rochel and Leah at the same time before Chayim Jabena Gerashim. It doesn't really matter for our purposes. Whatever, that Choyv is still on him, and if he dies, then the Yoshim take over that Choyv. So now the Yoshim take over that debt, and now they're the ones who are, now who have to continue supporting that girl until the 5 years are. So now the question is, What about that case? Ma'ushetamayet v'nechosim. Would we say that her claim causes the nechosim to be considered nechosim mu'otim rather than nechosim merubim, with the implications that that has as far as the boys and the girls, as we've been learning? Miyam minin kiven deki minsiva nami isla. Now, the difference is, unlike the almana, where once she remarries, she's not entitled to mezonos anymore, this daughter is still going to be entitled to mezonos even after she's married. The deal was 5 years, and so even if she marries during those 5 years, she's still entitled to that support out of the estate for the remainder of the 5 years. So therefore, that would be a reason to say that her claim makes it nechasa muatim. So therefore, again, the result is going to be we're going to have to earmark the amount for her mezonis. We're going to have to earmark the amount for the daughters of the man who just passed away, of the father. And then the boys, if there's nothing left at that point, then yishalu al psachim. A duma, or maybe we say, maybe if not memayit, and we consider it to still be nechasa merubin, and we would say, even de ilu mesa, after all, if the girl died during those 5 years, Lesla, then she wouldn't be entitled to mezonis, v'loy memata, so therefore, so she wouldn't be memayit at that point. So maybe now, even we would say that, so now maybe we would say that we give the amount for her, we give the amount for the girls, but we still consider it nechasa merubin, the sons are still entitled, if there's anything left, to have it, and in other words, the point is, so the sons now have, so they have an outstanding debt that they need to pay her, but we don't say that they don't yaushin at all, because it was all earmarked for the girls. So that was Rabbi Yirmiyah's second question. Then he continues, if you're going to think to say, and you're going to say it's true, kimin de ilu mesa lesla, it's true that if this girl, the stepdaughter, dies within the 5 years, she's not going to have mezonis v'loy memata, then she's not memayat the nechasim, and then we say, in other words, the boys still have their inheritance. So we still say it was merubin mishas misa, and as we said before, kvar zochu yoshin, they were already zoche in it. So now when we support the daughters, then that stepdaughter will be supported with them for as long as possible. But in other words, we're not going to say that all of the nechasim are going to go to them. If we say that, because again there is an out. So again, with the almana, there's the out she may get married. With the stepdaughter, there's the out that she may die in between. Well, how about another possibility? What about if there's money that's owed to somebody that the father owes money to for some reason? He borrowed money from him, or he owes him for something else or whatever. Does that make it nechasim muatim? Now the difference is with the Baal Choyv, that Choyv doesn't expire when the Baal Choyv dies. Even if he dies, his Yoshim inherit the ability to collect it. Nami Islay, so therefore now it's also... Okay, if you borrow money from somebody and that person dies, do you still owe him the money?
Okay.
If you borrow money from somebody and that person dies, do you still owe the money? Yes. You don't owe it to him anymore because he's dead. You owe it to his Yoshim.
You go to the grave. You go with 10 people to...
No. Stop. The actual money we're talking about over here, going to the grave and asking him mechila is very nice, but that's not what we're dealing with. You owe him actual money. So therefore, you're going to owe it to his Yoshim, his heirs, his children, whoever it is.
That's fine.
Okay. So the point is, unlike with the almana, where it expires when she gets married, unlike with the stepdaughter, where it expires when she dies, with a Baal Choyv, it's neither one. So now the question is, no matter what, the Choyv has to be paid off. Therefore, we would say that his claim reduces the amount of Nechasim and turns it into Nechasim Muatim, with the implication that we said so far that Nechasim Muatim, the girls are going to have their entire amount earmarked for them. We're going to give the Baal Choyv what he's owed, and then the boys have nothing left, and Yishalu al psachim. They're going to go beg, Oy Dilma, or maybe do we say, Kivin de Mechasri Guvaina? The fact is that Choyv has not yet been collected. Yes, it's owed, but he hasn't actually collected it yet. Loy Mimai, so therefore maybe we would say that it's not Mimai, and until he has it, meanwhile the sons still have possessions of it, so we're still going to say that the boys and the girls have their support out of it, and we say that eventually when he collects his debt, then when it comes time to collect it, then we're going to say it's going to go again. We're going to say like it was before with Merubim and Ismatu, where we're going to say that the boys and the girls share in the loss equally. In each of these cases, when we say loy memai, that would be what we mean. In other words, we still consider it nechasim merubim. Afterwards, we have one of these claims. Then we're going to say the boys and the girls are going to have to bear the loss equally, as opposed to if we said memai, then it would mean the girls are getting their entire portion earmarked for them, and the boys are losing out. So in each of these cases, Rabbi Yirmiyah has asked three questions, each one of them tied to the previous one with Im Timtzeloibar. If you're going to say such and such, then what would be the din in this case? So again, to recap, By an Amona, we might say yes, but we might say not, because when she remarries, then she's not owed this money anymore. By a stepdaughter, when she remarries, she still is owed the money, but when she dies, she's not. And a Baal Chayv is still owed the money, even after he dies, but on the other hand, the fact is the debt hasn't been collected yet.
There are the difference, Baal Chayv and...
the difference is, as we just said, because the Amona, as soon as she gets remarried, she's not owed the money anymore. The Baal Chayv is still going to be owed the money, even after he dies. That's the difference. That is because the Almana, the point of the Tanoi Ksuba is that she's entitled to Mizonis until she gets remarried. That's how the Tanoi Ksuba works. As opposed to when you borrow money from somebody, there's no clause about that. That's it. Part of what Tosfos discusses in the long Tosfos over here, Miyam Rinon, this is that I've heard this kind of thing called an iceberg Tosfos. You know, an iceberg sticks up only a little bit above the water. You don't know how much of it is underwater. Here you look at the bottom of the Amud over here, you see a Tosfos, Miyam Rinon. It doesn't look particularly long, then you turn the page, you find there's much more of it. This isn't even, there's other Tosfos in we'll get to as we go through the years, Vesta Shem, we'll have other ones that are like that. But anyway, part of what Tosfos discusses in that Dibra Maskel is the point that, after all, here we're saying that the debt of the Baal Chayv is something that hasn't been collected yet, so maybe we should say the fact is it hasn't been collected yet. Well, the Mazon Almana isn't something that's been collected yet, and the Mazonis for the daughters are not things that have been collected yet either, so why would there be the difference? So one thing Tosfos points out, yeah, if there was only an almana, for example, if there were no daughters involved at all, if there was just an almana, then together with the boys, then fine, then we would say, then obviously we would say that they both share equally in their respective portions of it. The question is over here, the Chachamim made a special takana for daughters where, after all, they're capable of yarshining, unlike an almana who would never yarshin, daughters are going to yarshin if there are no sons. And here also, so they're also Yotze Yerecha, the fact is they descend from him, so therefore that would be a reason why maybe the Chachamim would be a reason behind the Chachamim's special takana that a certain amount is earmarked for her. So now the question is when we have boys and girls and an almana, so now the question is, do we want that the almana's claim should override the boys? Do we want that the almana's claim is going to override the boy's claim, or do we say that maybe not? The fact is, there is a din yerusha min haTorah, and we don't want it to override it too much because of the almana's claim, and the same thing with the other claims that we're dealing with over here. Okay, now. So those were Rabbi Yirmiyah's three questions. Then the Gemara continues. The Ika de Boila LeIdach Gisa. Then there was another version that had the questions in a different order. Now one thing is, the order that we had it so far are tied together with Imtim Saloimar, if you're going to say such and such. Namely, when it came to, for example, the Almana, if we were to say that it doesn't matter, the Almana's claim still makes it Nechosim Muatim, even though it's not open-ended, because as soon as she gets married, then she doesn't get these Mizonis anymore. If we were to say that, If we were to say that, it doesn't matter the fact that she can get married, there'd be no reason to ask about the stepdaughter. Because obviously, if we're saying there's a claim from the almana, and we don't care about the fact that tomorrow she might get remarried, nevertheless, until she does, then she still has a claim, and that makes it nechos muatim, there'd be no room to ask about the daughter. And if we didn't say the point that when the daughter dies, that when the stepdaughter dies, if we were to say that with the daughter, that it doesn't matter the fact that when she dies, she's not getting any more, nevertheless, the chayv is still a chayv until then we'd have no room to ask about the Baal chayv. Only because we said, even Tim Salimah, if you're going to say this. So now the Gemara says, the ikka debayla le'idach gisa. Now there are those who ask the questions in the opposite direction. So starting with the Baal Chayv. Baal Chayv Maoshi Maib Nechosim. So the first question would be whether the fact that there's money owed to a Baal Chayv, would that make it Nechosim Watim? So again, we have only enough over here for... We have only enough over here for the debt and for the daughters to get their portion. Do we say that it's memayit, and therefore the result is the daughters get their portion, we pay the Baal Chayv, and the sons, that's it, Yishalo Alav Sachim? Or do we say that no, until the Baal Chayv comes to collect, then the boys and the girls are going to share in these nechosim equally? And eventually, when the Baal Chayv comes to collect, then at that point, if we still have enough at that point for the girls to be supported, then good. And if not, then they're going to lose a proportional amount together with the boys.
Where's the bathroom collecting the money from?
He's collecting the money from whatever's from the character, from the land that the father. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The ocean, yeah, yeah.
From the ocean. Okay. So the question is, so according to this way of understanding the questions, it's the other way around. First, we ask whether a Baal Chayv reduces the amount of Nechassim, meaning do we say that tips it over from Nechassim Merubim to Nechassim Muadim, meaning that, therefore, so we're going to earmark the part for the girls first. They're guaranteed their portion, that's that, and then the sons may be left out with nothing. Or do we say that, no, that right now it's Nechassim Merubim, therefore the boys have their Yerusha, the girls have their portion. Later on, if it's basically we're going to say that they're all going to live equally off the estate with their respective amounts, and when the Baal Chayv comes and he collects, then it's going to, the result is that both the boys and the girls are going to lose out. That's when we said Mimayit, essentially, in other words, that Ashbam had explained before, Mimayit basically would mean that the sons lose out. Eini Mimayit means that the sons are not going to lose out any more than the daughters. They're each going to lose out proportionally. Actually, then Ashbam had brought two explanations before, but yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Like we said, the sons have the rulers.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the first question. The second question, then, according to this, is without an Imtim Salaimah, is, the Rashbam says implicitly there's an Imtim Salaimah, but the Gemara is not spelling it out. But if you're going to say that by a Baal Chayv is one thing, because the difference is, again, because the Chayv continues to exist even after he dies, Bas Ishte Maushe Tamayat Benachosim, what about the stepdaughter that we said before, where the father had married a woman and taken on himself that he's going to support her daughter for 5 years? Does that cause the nechassim to be nechassim muatim because there's this outstanding debt? And again, you could say, well, because as long as she's alive, then even if she gets married, then the boys still have to pay it off. So therefore, maybe we would say that that's mamayit, and the result is, therefore, we consider it nechassim muatim, and we have her portion, we have the girl's portion, and that's it. The boys lose out. Or do we say, again, that since if she dies, then there's no more debt anymore. So even now, we're just going to say that, we still consider it nechassim muatim. And the boys still get their part, and then it means, in other words, the boys and the girls are both going to have to, we're going to take from both of them to pay off this debt to the stepdaughter.
Do we ever look and see how big the Baal Chayv is to consider it more?
Well, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about if once we consider the Chayv, it's going to become the Chosim Watim. Obviously, if the guy's a millionaire and the Chayv is a small amount, then obviously it's not going to make a difference one way or
the other.
Then it's not going to make a difference one way or the other. We're talking about where the result, because we have to consider this claim of the almana or of the stepdaughter or of the Baal Chayv, that would turn it from Nechassim Merubin to Nechassim Muatim if we consider that. So let's say in the example that you gave before from the Prisha, let's say the estate was 100 gold coins. The amount for the daughters is supposed to be 10. The boys are supposed to get 90. Now what happens is if the Chayv itself is 90, let's say, So are we going to say, that doesn't matter? The girls get their 10 regardless, and the boys then, that's it. Their whole 90 is taken by that, and they get nothing. Or do we say that, no, there was an estate of 100. Out of it, there's a chayv of 90. So therefore, the girls are going to get 1, and the boys are going to get 9 of the remainder once we pay that off. And similarly, the question is, what about when there's an almana involved? Does she reduce the amount of nechassim given the amount that she's owed? Where again, the question is, until she gets married, she's entitled to mezonos, but unlike the daughter, unlike the stepdaughter, where once she gets married, she's not entitled to mezonos anymore, the almana is not. Once she gets married, there's no more mezonos, so maybe it's a different kind, of debt.
Right?
What?
They're both, the daughter and
the daughter and the almana are both entitled to mezonos. There's two different kinds of daughters we have to remember over here. There's the stepdaughter, right. There's the stepdaughter where he took a specific claim on himself for 5 years, versus there's the regular daughters where we're saying Tachonis Chachamim, right, that they have to be supported until they become burgers. Okay. So, and furthermore, in this version, we can have a further question as well. Almanosa Yobas Ezebehen Kajenis. In this version, we can furthermore ask, what happens if we have both an almana and a stepdaughter involved, and we only have mezonis enough for one of them, and both of them are saying, look, it's no yksuba. So we're both entitled. So what do we do? Which one gets precedence?
Both of them.
Well, what do you mean both of them? There's one or the other. Now the Rashash points out actually that we have two versions of Rabbi Yirmiyah's questions. We had the first version where he went in the order Almana, then stepdaughter, then Bal Chayv. Okay. We have the second version where he went in the other way around, Bal Chayv, then stepdaughter, then Almana. Only in the second version do we have this question about when you have the Almana and the stepdaughters. The reason why the Gemara does that, says the Rashash, is because if we're saying that each time we're saying imtim tzaloymar ein mamatin, then if you're going to say in the first version where you're saying each time, if you're going to say that this one is not mamayit, what about the next one? Then there's no room to ask about what if there's two of them, because then it's not a question of present. Then it's not a question of which one is mamayit. We're saying neither one is mamayit. But now that we're asking the other way around, now that we're saying maybe. Now that the Gemara is not doing an imtim tzaloymar, now that the Gemara is just saying what happens in this case, what happens in that case, then we can ask, what about where you have a combination of cases?
Something very, very good, because we said, I put both of them. So who gets the money then?
That's the question.
You can put it.
Omalei, so with all of these questions that Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi, Omalei tells him, Zil ha'idna v'tola mocher, go today, leave today, and come back tomorrow. I don't know, I'll have to think about it, basically. Ki osa, when Rabbi Yirmiyah came back the next day, Omalei, Rabbi tells him, of all your questions, I don't have the answer to all of them, but pshoit mi achoda. At least we can answer one of them. Namely, as far as your last question about the almana and the stepdaughter, which one goes first, which one has precedence? Your Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Asi, osu almana etzel bas kid bas etzel ha'achin. We treat the case of the almana, who's supposed to get her mezonos, relative to the stepdaughter, just like the daughters relative to their brothers. Benachosim mu'atim. When it comes to nechosim mu'atim, we were saying that the girls get first dibs on it. Ma bas etzel achin abas mezonos va'achin yishal ha'opsachim. Just like when it comes to daughters relative to their brothers, the daughters get their portion, and the brothers, if there's nothing left for them, they go and beg for a living. The same way, the almana takes precedence over the stepdaughter, and therefore the almana will get her mezonos, and the stepdaughter, if necessary, will not get hers in Yishol al Apsachim.
No problem.
We learned this last round. We spoke the reason that why we don't go ducking our doors, because it's not at sneeze, and it could be
it's not sneeze stick, right?
So it would be more preferable for an almana.
So it's more preferable for an almana because she can get married sooner. Yeah.
But meanwhile, we're saying that she doesn't.
So we're saying that was the almana. Right. So here we're saying actually the almana will get her will get her mezonos, right? Because the fact is that the almana was saying over here the almana, I mean that's a regular tnai ksuba, the stepdaughter is a special tnai that he made, so she gets overridden by the almana by the almana. Now what happens in the end, by the way, is that now in the first version we went through with them with imtim tzaloymar. The Gaonim have a rule which the Rishonim take from them that whenever the Gemara says imtim tzaloymar on a question, then the halacha is like it. So the result would be we really only have a question on the last one in the chain. Now since we left that one open, so the result would be a motzi mechaveil of araya. We would say it's a regular case of suffix, and if they want to be able to collect, then so the result is the sons are going to Yaushin, we'll call it nechosim merubin, and we're going to say therefore the boys are entitled to their Yerusha, and later on when it comes to the almana or the daughter or whatever are going, the stepdaughter or whatever are going to collect, then the boys and the girls are going to end up losing out their proportional amounts from it, because now, in other words, we don't put it all on the boys anymore. Because if the girls want to be able to claim, we should be entitled to our whole amount. You would have to prove that the halacha is like that.
We should not. Decrease the almana because we
said if they
said
what we're saying is
no more yorkshire. You right or no?
What we're saying is that since we're in the case that we left a suffix over here, the last case involving a Baal Chayiv or involving the almana and the daughter, what we're saying is the boys yarshin their amount later on when they come to collect, when the Baal Chayiv or whoever needs to collect, then it's going to be taken from the boys as well as from the girls, rather than that we're going to say that the girls have theirs earmarked and that's that. Okay. Next. So that's how it is. The Rambam, by the way, mentions in this connection, the Rambam brings up a point and says that, you have also a Tosfos brings it up briefly over here also, the concept of Ksubas Bnin Dichrin. We've learned before in the Masechta, and we learned extensively in Ksubas, that there's a special Takana of the Chachamim, that the sons should yarshin the amount that would have gone to their mother's Ksuba if their mother dies before their father. So we said there's a certain amount that's supposed to be earmarked by Tznoi Ksuba for that, for them to Yarshin. The Rambam says, nevertheless, Mizonis Abbas would go ahead of that. If we see over here in our Mishnah that even the fact that the boys should Yarshin Alpitora, that gets overridden by the girl's claim, by their sister's claim, how much more so the Ksubas Benin Dichrin, which is itself only a Tznai based thing. Fine. The Mishnah had said, Admon Omer, the Shroshani Zoche Sadichola. The Mishnah had said that Admon had said, I forgot to mention yesterday, by the way, in Ksubas, the Mishnah tells us Admon was one of the Dayonic Zeris to Yerushalayim. There was a panel of Dayonim over there in Yerushalayim before the Churban who dealt specially with certain matters of Dine Mominus, and Admon was one of them. So the Gemara in Ksubas, there's a whole series of Mishnayas where Admon says an opinion on the different matter in Dine Mominus. And the Gemara discusses over them over there in the last parak of Ksubas. Why is he not called Rav? Pashtos, he lived in a time when they weren't commonly using the title Rav yet. In general, we have the concept of Gadol Rav and Shmoy, right? That the greatest title a person can have is just his name without a title. But we have, for example, listen, you have Hillel, you have Shammai, you have Yonas and Ben Uziel, you have many other examples where a person is called just by his name. Anyway. Now, we said in the Mishnah, again, when you have this case of Nechosim Muatim, when you have not enough to support both the boys and the girls until they're all of age. So we said the girls get their portion earmarked for them, and the boys, Yishalo Al Apsachim, they go and beg for a living. Now, the Mishnah had said, Admon Omer B'shvil Shani Zochev Sadi V'chola, because I'm a boy, should I lose out? Now, we discussed yesterday, does that mean that he's actually arguing la halacha with the chachamim, or does it mean that not? Tosfos had said that the Gemara does mention there in Ksubas that wherever Rabbi Gamliel says royani estivrei admon, that I find what admon is saying very logically compelling, then the halacha is like admon. Here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel says that. Does that mean the halacha is like admon? On the other hand, we just went through an entire sugya over here that necessarily must follow the chachamim, because we keep on asking mayit, enim mayit, whatever. Whereas according to admon, there's nothing to talk about as far as that. So there. Adam was a Tana. So that may mean that this is an exception and the halacha is not like Admon over here. And then Tosfos further says, the fact is Admon may not even be arguing the halacha, he may just be wondering. I understand this is the halacha, but what's the rationale, what's the logic behind it? Anyway, so the Gemara says, my karma, what does Admon mean exactly? Because I'm a boy, I'm losing out. So what does that mean? So what makes him think that a boy should have more rights than a girl? Where now he's saying that it's one thing as far as Yerusha, of course, sure, the boys get ahead of the girls, but when it comes to Mizonis, there's no advantage to a boy over a girl. So what is he saying? He's saying, because I'm a boy and I have a certain advantage in one area, therefore you're telling me to compensate for that, I lose out in another area. Where is that greater advantage to the boy when it comes to Mizonis? Omer Abaya Hochikama. So Abaya says, what Admon means is, B'shvil Shani Zohar, are you telling me because I'm a boy, V'roi Ani Lasik Batora, and I'm capable of learning Torah, if Sadi, therefore, and therefore I should be entitled to Mizonis, and therefore you're saying that now, now he ends up losing out when there's not nechosim, when there's not nechosim merubim. Are you telling me, in other words, that Ramban teaches out that he's saying, that, what are you saying? Would the chachamim want to make a takana that a boy who potentially could be learning Torah should have to go beg for a living rather than he should be supported in comfortably to be able to learn Torah?
But
Omalei Rava. But Rava says to Abaya, by that logic, if that's how you're understanding what Adman is saying, are you saying that it's only, so what if a, and what if a boy, what if a man has two or more sons, and some, and one of them learns Torah, and one of them doesn't? Man de osik ba Torah hu de yoris, de osik ba Torah la yoris? Are you telling me only the one who's learning Torah is going to Yaushin, and not the one who, and not the one who doesn't learn Torah?
Mm-hmm.
Now Tosfos points out it is true that the Gemara, we're going to learn it tomorrow, about Hashem does say that when we say it's a mitzvah to support the daughters, kavachomer, the boys who are learning Torah, that there's a mitzvah to do that. But as far as the din, as far as the actual din, where there's no difference in din between whether a boy learns Torah or not. So how can you, Abaya, say that that's the thrust of what Adman is saying? Ella, Omer Rava, Hachikama. Rather, Rava says what Adman means, Bishvil Shani Zachar, Veroya Ni Lirash, Benachosim Merubim. Had there been Nachosim Merubim, I would be the one to Yarshin it, and the daughter would be getting only Mazonis, Bishsadi Benachosim Watim. Is that a reason why, when there's Nachosim Watim, why I should lose out completely, and we're going to have that the daughter's claim is preferred over mine, and the result is that she gets exclusive rights to the Nachosim because it's Nachosim Watim, and she's entitled to a Mazonis, and I get nothing at all. Rather, Adman is arguing the logic should dictate that we just divide it equally among ourselves and make do with what we have. So again, as Tosfos talks about, does that mean that Adman is actually arguing the halacha and saying this is how it should be, or is he just saying logically it ought to be that way? But I understand the halacha is not like that. So it depends how we
understand.
So the bottom line is we have to figure out what Adman means and whether in fact the halacha is like him. There are different opinions among the Rishonim whether we say that Adman is arguing and the halacha may be like him, or do we say he's arguing that the halacha is not like him because we just have the whole sugya not like him, or do we say he's not arguing in the first place? Okay, next. The Mishnah says, Biniach bonim u bonis v'tumtum. What happens? The father passes.
And the hungry no share.
God. We really have to ask you to be quiet unless you have a question to ask, okay?
No problem.
It's very distracting. What happens if the father left children? There are sons, there are daughters, and there's a tumtum. And a tumtum is a suffix whether he's a boy or a girl. So, when there's nechosim merubim and the boys are inheriting and the girls are getting only mazonis, it's on the kavis. Then the boys can push him towards the girl's side. They can say, in other words, look, you know, it's a suffix. You may be only a girl. Therefore, you're not entitled to a portion. You're not entitled to a share in the estate. All you're gonna get is mazonis. You wanna prove that you get a certain share of the estate. You're gonna have to prove that you're a boy. Now, does he actually get mazonis as one of the girls? We're gonna see in the Gemara. Abaya and Rava are gonna argue about that. Nechosim Mu'otin, on the other hand, if there's only Nechosim Mu'otin and the girls are going to get their Mazonis, then the girls can push them to the side of the boys and they're going to say, look, you're not necessarily entitled to Mazonis with us. You may be a boy, and as a boy, you and your brothers are not getting anything, Yishalo Alok Sachim, as we said in the previous Mishnah, so therefore you're not getting anything either. Fine.
Was that anything, or just one, was it?
No, because one way or the other is if he's a boy, in the previous case where there's Nechosim Merubin, we can argue, does that mean, does he get anything at all? Does he at least get Mazonis? Or does he not get anything at all? We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. But in this case, we're saying because of the suffix, he gets nothing at all. Because if he's a girl, he gets Mazonis. If he's a boy, he gets nothing at all. Well, they can say, you're a suffix boy, therefore you don't get anything at all because it's Nechosim Merubin.
And for Tfilah, they're not getting bad word. Why? We don't know what they are.
For what? Okay. Right now we're dealing specifically with the dinim of Yerusha. So let's not. Okay. Continue the mission. Suppose a man says that if my wife gives birth to a boy, then he should get one, he should get a money, 100 zuz. Now, the Rashbam explains that we're talking about that he's a shidmera. Because now normally we would say how can an unborn baby be zoche in anything? He's a dover shalai b'olam. But here where he's a shivana, we have the concept mitzvah l'kayim divra mes. Or really, yeah, we have to fulfill what he says, even though it doesn't follow the normal dinim.
Yeah.
Or we say another possibility that Rashbam says we're talking about that he is healthy and he's mezakeh through somebody else. We're going to talk about later on. The Gemara is going to explain, even though normally you can't use somebody else to be mezakeh to an unborn baby either, but it's different with his own child because daita shaladim korov etzol b'nai. He has a certain closeness, a certain mental closeness and love to his son, even to his child, even before he's born. So he would be able to do that. On the other hand, it means, in other words, what?
Somebody disabled or unhealthy?
We're talking about either a shchiv mara, that he's on his deathbed, or that he's a bari. Okay. So the Rebbe Gash says it can't work by a body at all. Maybe it only works by a shivana. Anyway, whatever. So he says that if my wife now, right now my wife is pregnant, if she gives birth to a boy, then I want to give him a mana. So fine, yolda zocho yuta mana. So fine, when she gives birth to a boy, then that boy, when he's born, gets a mana. If he says nekeva masayim, if he says if a girl is born, I want her to have 200, then the same thing, yolda nekeva, netelus masayim. There's not as much of a chiddush in that part, except for the point that you can be mezakeh to an unborn child, which the Gemara is going to deal with. The Gemara is also going to deal with the question, why would we assume that he wants to give twice as much to a girl as to a boy? We'll deal with that in the Gemara tomorrow. Whatever, we'll see. Anyway.
This is going to be on top of the regular Yerusha?
This is on top of the regular Yerusha, right. What about if the father had said im zocha mona im nekeva masayim? What if he said both? If it's a boy, then he should get 100, and if it's a girl, she should get 200. V'yoda zocha in nekeva. What happens if she gives birth to twins, a boy and a girl? Zocha nota mona nekeva natalis masayim. Then the boy gets 100 and the girl 200. Now the Rashbam brings over here that it's not necessarily that we mean that they had twins. Actually, the Rashbam says the father didn't necessarily intend to refer to if twins were born. All it is, in other words, we're saying that it can be the case where he only mentioned a boy, where he only mentioned a girl, or where he mentioned both, and then what it means is if one or the other was born, then they're getting 100 or 200 respectively. The Rashbam says we're not necessarily talking about where they had twins. In fact, the Rashbam learns that if she had twins, then they wouldn't get anything because he didn't intend for this condition to be if both of them are born. He meant one or the other.
I'm sorry, twin, why did you get that?
Because the Rashbam is explaining that the Mishnah doesn't mean that he intended if both a boy and a girl are born. He meant if it's either a boy or a girl.
Okay.
So then the Rashbam... The Rashbam learns, therefore, that if she had both, then they're not getting anything. That because the Rashbam understands that the Mishnah is saying that it means if it's one or the other. Obviously, if he said if it is both, then both. Then obviously we hold to that. But in other words, we're saying if it's one, he meant it's one or the other. So now that's according to the Rashbam. The Rambam learns differently, and the Rambam learns that in fact, if twins were born, then it's both. They get the 100 and 200 respectively. Okay, onward. What happens? Yolda tumtum. What happens if his wife gives birth to a tumtum? Ain't a notum, and he doesn't get anything because he's neither a zocho or a keva. What about
if it's two and one? You should get this one.
No, but it doesn't matter. The point is that he said if it's a zocho or if it's a nekeva, a tumtum is considered, the Mishnah is considering, as the Gemara is going to explain, that the tumtum is considered beria b'fnei atzma. He's considered, in effect, like almost like a third gender.
Female.
Right now we're saying that he's neither. He's neither. He's something else. He's something else entirely. On the other hand, if he said whatever my wife gives birth to, he should get X amount, then fine, then Tumtum is still a baby, so therefore Harezi Yitzel. So he does get whatever amount it is, and furthermore, Vim ein sham yorish elohu, and if furthermore, if there's no other yorish except that tumtum, who yorish at the curl, then he yarshins everything. Because, in other words, the Rashbam says, when do we consider him a beri b'fnei asma? When there are regular boys and regular girls, then we can say that we consider him almost like a third kind of thing. But where there's no other yorish other than him, the fact is, we still have, as we learned in the previous parak, when the pasuk says, uvein ein loy, that a person dies without children, ayin olav, we have to investigate and see, does he have any descendants? Well, he has a descendant. The descendant is a tumtum, but nevertheless, it's still a descendant, and therefore he still gets the Yerusha. As the pasuk says, "Mimishpachta v'yorash oisa," the Rashbam finishes off. As the pasuk says, that the one from his family should yarshin him, and therefore, so that's how it is. So he yarshins. So now, when we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, again, that you have the case where there are boys and girls and a tumtum, and we said when there's nechosim merubin, then the boys can push him over to the girls, meaning, in other words, they can say, you don't get a portion of Yerusha with us because you may be a girl. So, does that imply that he gets a portion like a daughter? Further on in the Mishnah, we're saying that if she has, that when the father had said 100 to a boy, 200 to a girl, and a tumtum is born, then he gets neither one. So, there we're saying, in effect, that the tumtum, so in other words, in the Reisha, it sounds like we're saying that the tumtum, we consider him misophic to be a girl. Now in the Sefer, we're saying the Suffolk, we don't consider him to be anything. So what is it? Amar Abaya, it means it means that in the Reisha, the boys can push him over to the girls and say, look, you're not entitled to a Yerusha. But the fact is, the girls can also push him back and say, on the other hand, you're not necessarily entitled to Mizonis with us either, because you may be a boy. So he ends up with nothing, says Abaya. When we say, all it means is he doesn't get a portion of Yerusha, but in fact, according to Abaya, is not getting a portion of Mizonis either.
So that's
according to Abaya, that's how it is. Whereas Rava says, no, in the ratio of the Mishnah, he does get a mizonis together with the girls. What about the fact that the Mishnah seems to imply that the tumtum is considered neither a boy or a girl? The sefer asan that of Shimon Gamliel. Because the sefer, when we say that he doesn't get anything, neither the 100 nor the 200, is specifically following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. As we learn in a Braisa, it's a Tanan really, because it's actually a Mishnah. It's actually a Mishnah in Masechta Tmura. We have a case over there where an animal was pregnant. And if it's a boy, it's going to be a bechor. Now the owner of the animal doesn't want the baby boy to be a bechor because he doesn't want to have to give it to a kohen. So what does he do? So he wants to do a harama. So he plays a trick basically. He says whatever the bechor only gets his kedusha of bechor when it's born. So he has the ability. He has the ability to declare another kedusha on it while it's still in the womb. Okay. So the Mishnah says. So the beginning of the Mishnah says, for example, he could say the baby that this animal is carrying, if it's a boy, then as of now I'm declaring it an oila. And if it's a girl, then I'm declaring it a shlomim, because an oila can only be a male animal. I mean, So if it gives birth to a boy, then it's an oila. If the baby is a male, then it becomes an oila, and if it's a female, it becomes a shlomim. And the Mishnah continues, yolda tumtum v'androgynous. What happens if it gave birth to a tumtum or an androgynous? The animals can also have a tumtum or androgynous, true. Reb Shimon Gamliel ain't kedusha chol aleihen. Then Reb Shimon Gamliel says there's no kedusha on it, because, in other words, Reb Shimon Gamliel considers it to be neither a male nor a female. Now, granted, you can't bring a tumtum or androgynous as a korban. Nevertheless, we might have said, had we said that it had kedusha, we would have said you would have to sell it and use the money to buy an oil or shlomim respectively. But Reb Shimon Gamliel says nothing of the above. No kedusha is chalan in the first place, so he holds that both a tumtum and an androgynous are buried of fnei atzma, and he said either a male or a female.
Yeah.
So therefore, the sefer of our Mishnah is also following, says Rava, is also following the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel that says that the Tumtum is considered, in effect, a third, in effect, a third gender. So therefore, in effect, no, Abaye and Rava are Meroi. Abaye and Rav Shimon Gamliel is a
family.
So that's it. So we have, so it's not a three-way machlokas. It's, we have two ways of understanding our Mishnah. Are we saying that our Mishnah is according to all the Chachamim, or are we saying that the Sefer of our Mishnah is specifically according to the Shimon Gamliel? But the Gemara says, Meisvi. So now I have a question on a buyer's opinion. A Braisa says, Tumtum Yorish Kaben Benizim Kabas. A Tumtum Yarshins like a son, but he gets Mizonis like a daughter. So, Bishlema the Rava, according to Rava, we understand what the Braisa means. Yorish Kaben Ben Nechosim Watim, meaning when the Nechosim Watim, we treat him like a son, and because there's Nechosim Watim, he's not inheriting, because again, it's all earmarked for the girls Mizonis. Benizim Kabas. And on the other hand, if there's Nechosim Merubin, then we treat him like a daughter, and he's entitled to Mizonis. Elo Abaye my nizim kabas, but according to Abaye, what do you mean he gets mizonis like a daughter? The fact is, according to Abaye, we said he doesn't end up getting mizonis at all because the daughter is telling him you might be a son and you're not entitled to mizonis with us. You're only entitled to Yerusha. Go fight it out with your brothers. So why does the Braisa say nizim kabas? How would Abaye understand that Braisa? Now Tosfos discusses in some detail over here. Why don't we just say that the Braisa is holding that the Tumtum is a Suffolk, whereas the Mishnah had held that according to Abaye, the whole Mishnah had been like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that a Tumtum is a berry with an asthma. That's why in the Mishnah Abaye says the Tumtum is not getting any Mizonis at all, because in effect he's a berry with an asthma. Why don't we understand, therefore, that the Braisa is going according to the Chachamim? No, according to Abaye, he's not getting.
So
that's the question. So one thing Tosfos says is the Gemara wants to make Abaye's opinion work according to everybody. Where there's a Gemara in Bechoras over there, the Gemara in Masechta Bechoras, the Gemara discusses that everybody might agree that a Tumtum is a Suffolk. Here, the Gemara is taking it as a given that Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold that the Tumtum is a berry of Neasma. And that's why when it comes to the pregnant animal, we say that if it gives birth to a Tumtum, it's not Kaddish. But the Gemara brings a different explanation elsewhere that in fact, Rav Shimon Gamliel also agrees that the Tumtum is a Suffolk Zohar, Suffolk Mekeva. And the reason is why we don't say that the animal has Kedusha, because when he said Zohar and Mekeva, he meant a definite Zohar, a definite Mekeva. He didn't have intention to include a Suffolk in the first place. So the Gemara wants to make a buyer's opinion work according to that understanding as well. So therefore, we can't just say that the Mishnah is talking about according to the opinion, bury of Nasma, because we want to make it work according to the Chista's opinion that there's no such thing. Anyway, so the Gemara answers, knew we have to ask when you're even asking the question. Rava is saying that it means, how would Rava understand the part that it says, Yarshin's like a son? What do you mean he's not Yarshining like a son? Because the sons tell him that you might be a daughter when you're not Yarshining. Ella Roy Lirash Ve'enloy. All it means is that the Braisa means, according to Rava, it means he should be Yarshining, but because there's Nechosim Merubim, and the fact is, we said if there's no other Yorush other than him, he's inheriting the entire thing. So in other words, he is a Bao Yorusha. He is capable of Yarshining. But right now, because there are other boys, Ve'enloy, he doesn't end up getting because they have a Vade claim and he has only a Suffolk. Hochanami, the same way, according to Abaya, Roy Lizan Ve'enloy, the Braisa can mean he's supposed to get Mizonis, but in practice, he's not going to get because his sister is telling him that you may not be entitled to Mizonis because you may be a boy after all. So the Braisa doesn't contradict either Rava or Abaye. It can be explained according to both of them.
So now we explain Tumtum.
So now,
what did we left with androgynous and?
So an androgynous for our purposes would be the same. As far as an androgynous for purposes of our mission, it's the same as a Tumtum.
So we didn't need
three examples. We said a Tumtum, the same rule applies to an androgynous. Yeah. Okay, interesting.
I got clear.